You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, you know this show has got a strong military flavor. We got a huge veteran audience, and a bunch of y'all out there have been identifying quite well with the things that we talk about, to include pushing back against wokeism in the ranks and some of the new policies that are being promulgated. We had Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson on not long ago talking about his experience working for the Clinton administration. This is not all new, in other words. But right now we got a guest coming on. I'm pretty stoked about this. So there's an organization that I became aware of about a year or so ago. It's called STARS. That's what two R's. Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. And it's a group of retired officers who have banded together and become an organization that fights back on this. And our guest today is one of those. It's Major General retired Joe Arbuckle. And Major General Arbuckle first went into the military in 69, enlisted, went to OCS, and deployed. His first tour in Vietnam was as an infantry first lieutenant, serving as a MACV advisor to a South Vietnamese Army unit, same as my dad had done just about a year or so prior. During his last 10 years on active duty, he served as an Army strategist, focusing on national-level strategy. Most of his time in his career was spent in the missile field as well. He also, by the way, commanded at every level, from lieutenant all the way up through major general. 32 years of service, Defense Distinguished Service Medal, multiple Bronze Stars, V Device, 6 Legions of Merit, Combat Infantryman's Badge, Army Parachutist Badge. Major General Joe Arbuckle, thanks so much for your service. Thanks for being on Right Side Radio today, sir. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing well, Phil, and appreciate that kind introduction. Looking forward to speaking with you.
Well, thank you, sir. And listen, I guess the first thing out the gate, I want our audience to get real familiar with STARS. I've been following your newsletters, checking out your website, drawing some of my own content for the show from it, and we have a huge veteran audience here. So if you don't mind, sir, tell us about the genesis of STARS, how it came about, and what y'all do.
You bet, Phil. Well, I'm relatively new to the organization. I joined last fall. I'm the vice chairman. The chairman's a retired Air Force lieutenant general. The way the organization began was, about 3 years ago, General Bishop and some other academy graduates, and we're located here in the Springs as an aside, so they're close to the academy, They learned that the football coaches were showing a Black Lives Matter video to the football team. And this was pretty bad stuff, as the team was chanting Black Lives Matter and that kind of thing. And that upset the academy grads that heard that was going on. So they spoke to the superintendent of the academy about how inappropriate that was. And long story short, that continued over the course of months. And the more they dug, the more they found out that this wokeism, as we call it today, was in fact happening at the academy. So they kind of banded together, organized, and that eventually became STARS. And today it's got a lot of followers and members. I would encourage your audience, particularly the veterans out there, to look at the website, which is STARS.US. There's a lot of great information on there, and they can sign up for the web. To the newsletter, which is very informative if they wish.
And we're going to do that. I'm going to put it out more often, too, on the show, sir, and make sure that folks know. You guys, aside from just being informational, are you addressing things directly with the service branches?
Yes. Basically, we've had two strategic goals. The first has been to get rid of the mandatory COVID vaccination policy in the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
And we played a heavy role in that. As you know, Congress put that language into the NDAA to remove the mandatory vaccination. Now we're seeking remedies for those harmed. But the second major strategic goal, which is the subject, I think, of what we're going to talk about today, is addressing this DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, indoctrination, which is going into our military. And in doing that, we've always had three avenues of approach with our goals. One is public information, public affairs. Another is legislative or congressional action, and the third is legal action, wherever appropriate. But we're largely, we're basically a volunteer organization, so we do this primarily on volunteer time.
Well, but every bit of those, I mean, they're necessary. It's the military mindset. You can't always be in the defensive. Sometimes you have to be in the offensive. And so I'm glad to hear it's not just a matter of public affairs meaning information. You guys are actually engaging the legislative process, and then potentially the litigation is – which, by the way, the litigation is what won the day in some ways on the vaccine mandates. At some point, the courts had to get involved and declare things as being rights or not rights.
Exactly, yeah. Our general counsel is a retired Air Force Academy graduate, quite the lawyer himself, and he's been doing a lot of those law cases just pro bono, helping out service members. I think he was involved in about five or six in federal court that addressed the illegality of denying religious exemptions to many service members, and federal courts upheld that as being illegal the way it was being handled in those cases. So that was a major victory.
Well, it was, and just to fill you in too, just so you'll know, down here in Alabama, there's several of us organizations that are kind of cohesive. One of whom is along with my Right Side Radio is the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, and they were very engaged on some of those processes as well, in doing that special interest litigation like that.
Exactly.
Hey, sir, let me ask you this then. So, right now, what we're seeing is a constant trend towards DEI, and you mentioned that in the military. I mean, we're being told that the military that we have all served in for years is suddenly systemically racist, and it's got extremism all throughout the ranks, and we have to shut down training and root it out. And then on top of that, I mean, I can't tell you how many times in my closing days of my time in service when I would have to write an OER, evaluation report, for the audience, for younger officers, and I'd have to take out language because I ran out of space that was about their leadership skills in order to include that they were mandatorily required and adhering to the sexual harassment policies and everything else. It's gotten to the point that it's bleeding over into everything we do and affecting readiness. So address that for us, if you wouldn't mind, from STAR's perspective.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Let me kind of dissect this DEI, if I may, Phil, to kind of explain where it's been and where it's going. First of all, I think we need to understand that the words sound very benign, so the general public just accepts it's diversity, equity, inclusion. What's wrong with that? Well, there's a lot wrong. It's toxic when you dig into it. It's totally destructive. But you got to look backwards to understand its history. It's basically an offspring of critical race theory, and that goes back and has its roots in Marxism, as you well know, where people are put into classes. They're divided, and two groups primarily, the oppressors versus the oppressed. Today, that is being used by the modern-day Marxists primarily based on race. But, of course, gender and ethnicity and all those other group factors are being lumped in with it right now under DEI. But the problem with DEI is it focuses on differences from a military standpoint. Differences. That's antithetical to what we're all about. It divides people instead of uniting them. And again, it's based upon identity groups, race, gender, etc. And that creates a victimhood mentality among those who are being told that they've been oppressed and they're owed something. And so out of that comes then special privileges for people in these identity groups. And that's kind of what you're getting at with your OER comment there. Are you complying with that? And it's opposite of our national motto, the pluribus unum. So all of this is basically in the DEI going in the opposite direction. And they justify it, those that propose this, as level the playing field. And that results in preferences given to minorities in academy, military academy admissions, promotions, key command assignments. And even in the Air Force, the pilots, a couple of years ago, the Air Force was short 1,700 pilots, but yet they said that they're going to take the current 80% of white pilots and try to reduce that down to 67.5%. just for diversity and inclusion purposes, not based upon qualifications. Well, you and I know, and your veterans know, that the military's been probably the most diverse and inclusive institution in the United States forever. And if you look at I did a comparison here, some facts. The 2020 census said that there's 12% blacks in the United States. Well, there's 17% in the military. That's a 42% increase in blacks in the military over the general population. Hispanics and Latinos about equal. Whites, there's about 58% in the census information in the United States, 52% in DOD. So there's 10% less whites in the military than in the general population. Well, the point is, the military is diverse and inclusive already. So how about equity? This is one that's really kind of dangerous, Phil. You know the military has been based on equality, equal opportunities for everybody. Well, equity is about equal outcomes, which means that you have to basically lower standards to accommodate different identity groups so that you have these equal outcomes. And those lower standards then lower performance, which then lowers readiness.
Right.
And that's a linkage right there that's very, very important. And so not always the best qualified person under these kind of criteria, the DEI, get promoted, get in the right jobs, and so forth. And the final point I want to make on this, a lot of people understand, is meritocracy. And meritocracy basically is merit. You look at people based upon their merit, their abilities, and that's been time-tested in war and our military for generations, but under meritocracy, you don't judge people based upon the color of their skin. You judge them based upon their character, Martin Luther King, their performance, and their potential. It's basically a colorblind society. We don't look at each other in the military, or should not, based upon their color, gender, or any other characteristic like that. And I think that's why military, the minorities have come into the military at historically higher percentages than the general population, as I just pointed out, because you see it as an opportunity to get ahead where they're treated in a colorblind society. Yeah. And that's what we want. And let me finally close this point on meritocracy with an analogy. Look at pro sports. At the National Basketball Association, National Football League, they're about 74% black. If you look at the National Hockey League, it's about 94% white. Well, why is that? It's because the mission of those teams is to win. And so the coaches put the best qualified players on the field so that they can win. And what are the consequences of losing a game? Well, they're pretty minor. But if that meritocracy model is okay for pro sports, why is it not okay for the United States military?
Wow.
Where the consequences of losing a war, a major war, is massive losses of life, destruction of property, and maybe even our nation. So there's a good way to look at it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely is. And, hey, sir, we're up against the break. If you don't mind, we'll hold on during this quick break. I'll come back and spend about five more minutes with you. I'd like to get some comments from you on some of the latest developments, to include the Navy using a drag queen as a potential influencer for recruiting, and just get your thoughts on some of that. Can you hang on, sir?
You bet, sir.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. Hey, listen, this is a great interview. We're on right now with Major General Joe Arbuckle. Retired Army officer and now working with an organization called STARS. You might want to check them out during the break, stars.us. And there's a bunch of you out there that are veterans. You should be keying in on this one. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. A little bump music there from Ted Nugent, who was on the show not so long ago. All right, listen, we're going right back to the phones right now for the next few minutes with Major General retired Joe Arbuckle, Army officer, and now with an organization called STARS. STARS is a really interesting organization. I want to encourage all of you again, go to their website, check them out, stars.us, that's two R's. So it's Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. Hey, sir, thanks again for spending some time with us. And I mentioned to you offline there that my dad was career Army. I think he got in just a few years before you did. And he used to tell me he was proud of the fact that the Army was the first true melting pot of society, in his words. But right now, we're looking at the Army is expected to not make its recruiting milestones again this year. Navy is in the same boat. and yet the Navy thought it was a great idea to use a drag queen as an influencer to try and boost recruiting. I'd just love to get your thoughts on that.
I got to be careful what I say here. Well, you know, one of the missions of the military is to deter war, and should that fail, to fight and win. I just can't imagine what the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, the North Koreans, and the terrorists are thinking about when they see that Navy recruiting film. They're probably clapping their hands watching it. It's just, the train has jumped the track. I mean, that's one example. The Army came out with something not long ago that's almost as bad, you probably know about, where they had in a cartoon recruiting film, basically a young girl there with two mothers, and basically the line was that this girl wanted to perhaps join the Army to find her inner strength and perhaps shed some stereotypes along the way. Now, they took that thing off the line. It bombed, obviously, pretty quickly, but the point is, what mentality is behind the senior leadership in these military services that would even consider that sort of recruiting?
I have no idea, sir. And I mean, with about 2 minutes left, I mean, I looked at it. I even said on the air yesterday, I think it was, I'd like to know who briefed the admiral for the Navy recruiting pitch and said, this is a great idea, sir, and which one of them signed off on it. But sir, I mean, it's just real briefly here with a little bit of time left, and I appreciate your time. Thanks very much. But the military is saying that woke policies is not impacting readiness, but everybody else believes it is. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it absolutely is. But, you know, the DOD leadership is saying that. In fact, what they say is there's no evidence that indicates that DEI is hurting basically recruiting or retention. Well, they're in a box because, Phil, if they did admit that DEI, these woke policies, were hurting recruiting and retention, the solution would be obvious. They'd have to back off of them.
Yeah.
But they can't do that, so they're in a box. And these policies, I think we need to recognize, are coming from four different executive orders, presidential executive orders, going back to Obama with the first one, and then three under Biden.
Well, it's been something to watch, sir. And I tell you what, I hate that we're pretty much out of time, but love to get you on again sometime in the future and be able to maintain contact. But Major General Joe Arbuckle with STARS, which can be found at STARRS.US. Sir, thanks for staying in the fight. We appreciate what you're doing, and thanks for your service overall.
Well, same to you, Phil. Thanks for staying in the fight. It's great to talk to Patriots, and all the best to you. Be happy to come back.
Roger that, sir. Thank you much. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're about to hit a break. That segment just seemed like it flew by. Like I still had like 40 questions that I could have gone down, boom. But appreciate the general making some time. I'm telling you, folks, you need this organization. I'm glad they're doing it. I mean, you always hear about, you know, every time a gathering of former somethings gets together on the liberal side, we know all about it, right? They write a letter about Hunter Biden's laptop or something. How about this, when you've got a large group of conservative retired flag officers who are saying, stop it. This is our military. We served here. We know what it's like inside the ranks. And what you're saying is there is not there. What you're saying you want to put there is not good there. And they're doing a great job at it. STARS with two R's, .us. All right, folks, we'll come right back. I'm going to finish up Triple Dipper number 3, Woke Wars. We'll be right back.